when we're serious about something, we're committed to it, we're intentional about it. And that's where I'm at these days, is trying to be intentional about play and staying curious.
This is Choose to Be Curious, a show all about curiosity. We talk about research and theory, but mostly it's conversations about how curiosity shows up in work and life. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Welcome. Come, choose to be curious with us. People ask where I get my show ideas. The answer is from every imaginable direction. But today's guest came to me. Yvonne Marchese is the lovely and effervescent host of Late Bloomer Living, a weekly podcast devoted to defining what's possible in midlife and beyond. She's a self-described age agitator, play instigator, and believer in do-overs. On a journey of discovery around that aforementioned play, which brought her, as it can, to curiosity, which brought her to me. I had the pleasure of joining her on her show, and now I'm excited to have her join me on mine. Ever since she reached out, I've been thinking more, I was going to say more seriously, let's say more deeply about play and how incredibly important it is, especially when everything around us feels so very serious. And that thinking brings me back to curiosity and how she and you and I have all and can leverage it as we continue to write the stories of our lives. I am so delighted to have one of my new favorite mental occupying forces, Yvonne Marchese, join me today. So welcome, Yvonne.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here. I kind of got the shivers while you were doing that little intro, and I almost giggled in the middle of it. I was like, quiet, Yvonne, quiet.
See, effervescent.
I love it. I love that you said you started to go get serious about play. I often say play is serious business.
Yeah.
Because I am serious about play, and I don't think that they're necessarily like against each other. You know, I like to rub the opposition of the two.
Well, to not put them in opposition, but to appreciate how both play and seriousness are a commitment and investment to something that's important to us.
Yeah, I think you really nailed it right there. It's when we're serious about something, we're committed to it, we're intentional about it. And that's where I'm at these days, is trying to be intentional about play and staying curious.
Yeah.
Because I tend to grind, you know, it was the hustle culture thing. I'm all bought in, man. You know, and even though I currently work for myself as a photographer, which at one point in my life, that was a dream. Like, I was like, how am I ever going to be able to do that? You know, I had to have a regular job while I was building a photography business on the side. And I have this podcast that I'm doing, which I love. And still, I get into the grind of doing all the things, you know, and I'm looking more and more at how can I be playful in the middle of doing things that are important to me.
You know, you had a guest recently, and the conversation really dug into play at work. And it was such a useful reframe for me in terms of thinking about play as like flow, a place where you lose track of time, where it just fills you up instead of wears you down. And it was such a gift to me because I sat back and I thought, okay, so where's the play in Choose to Be Curious? What are the things where you feel like you lose yourself and the time just goes away? And I started writing the list and I'm like, wow, it's like most of what I do, actually. And I would not have thought of it. And this is why I think of you as a mental occupying force in the best possible way, because you're living rent-free in my brain, helping me reframe how I'm thinking about the work that I'm doing that I love and that I think is important and interesting and seems to be interesting to other people. And yet we can sort of lose the play about it. Where's the play for you in what you do?
The play for me, I tell you, when I'm doing a photography session, the play is in the session itself. Having somebody on the other side of the camera from me. If you ever see me in a photo session, anybody who's they're like, oh my gosh, you are such like a piece of work when you're doing photography. I love it. That is flow for me. On the podcast, it's the conversations. It's this conversation with you. This is flow for me.
Yeah.
Big time. Like, I love this. Research, finding topics or people, you know, stumbling across somebody who sparks something in me. And then I go down the rabbit hole of like, oh, who is this? Are they good for the show? Like that kind of thing. Total flow. I'm challenging myself these days to reframe tasks. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I make it more fun? And mm-hmm. I think I have to get curious about it, right? It's like, okay, if I can ask myself a good question here, how can I make this task more fun? Well, ooh, could I finish filing my sales tax? Could I do it in 15 minutes? Suddenly it's like a game, right? Different ways of like just shaking things up for myself.
So one of the many research rabbit holes that I know you have gone down is around curiosity, mm-hmm. which you described in our conversation and elsewhere as something you're perceiving as a superpower. And I'm really interested in that journey, in your becoming a student of curiosity, fellow traveler that you are. And I'm wondering, what's fed that conviction of a superpower? How are you doing things differently? Are you thinking about differently? Tell me a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, I have to go back to the moment in time before I was doing the podcast, as I was approaching the age of 50, and I was a full-time photographer at that point. So, you know, you think mission accomplished, all should be well with the world, right? But I felt I was still having trouble getting up in the morning. Uh-huh. I was hitting a snooze button over and over. I felt like there was more and I didn't know what that was. And my kids were younger at that point and I felt the weight of, you know, by the time I would get up in the morning, I'd be behind the eight ball already. Mm-hmm. It would be instantly putting out fires. Oh, get your lunch together. Let's go. You know, yelling at my kids to get ready in the morning, all the stress around that. And one particular morning, I realized that I had been throwing kind of an adult tantrum. Mm-hmm. In its own way, like yelling at my kid to get ready. And by the time we got in the car, I looked in the rearview mirror and I see these tears going down his cheeks. And I'm like, oh, I felt like monster mom. Mm. And I knew something had to change at that point and I didn't know what. And I came home, I talked to my husband and he was like, you know, I just read this book or I listened to it, the audio version, Mel Robbins' book, The 5 Second Rule. You might check it out. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I saw so much of myself in what she was talking about in that book, and I decided to follow what she was saying in that I put it across the room. That's my alarm clock. I decided I'm going to just try a morning routine and see where this goes. So that's the first step of curiosity. Will this work, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I had wanted to be a regular meditator for a long time. And I decided, okay, for 30 days, little experiment, I'm going to get up and meditate. I'm going to get up before my kids, an hour before they're supposed to be up. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to move my body every day. And let's just see what happens. And it was a sea change. Mm. And the meditation part of it, that was like the awareness of my thought loops and what I was constantly telling myself. So in becoming curious, sitting there watching my thoughts, becoming curious about them, that's when I started to notice all these thought loops that were really disempowering, the things I was telling myself about myself that, is that really true? Mm-hmm. And when you start to ask yourself something like that, it opens up the possibility of going in a different direction. And it blew my life wide open to do that. And that's when I started to realize, many years down the line, I realized that when I'm having anxiety over all the things that are going on in the world, all the things, if I can stop and go, okay, isn't that interesting? What is there for me to learn in this, from this situation? Yeah. Like, what can I do? What can I do where I am with what I have? And it starts to make me feel like I have some agency mm-hmm. and some choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a long answer.
No, but it should be a long answer, right? I mean, our journeys with these things are not like we wake up one day and all is revealed and all is resolved. That's not.
No way.
In my experience, that's not how the world works. Do you still meditate and exercise first thing in the morning?
Every day. Well, the exercise I would say is not as consistent as the meditation. Meditation is absolutely every day. And sometimes I'll take a little meditation break in the middle of the day or at the end of the day sometimes. But in the morning, that's sacrosanct. That is absolute. And then the moving my body part is most days, actually. Uh-huh. Because I now know what a difference that makes for me, I have realized that one of my styles of play is kinesthete. That's more of Stuart Brown's work, is that there's 8 styles of play. And one of them that I really highly identify with is when I'm moving my body, I feel better. Mm-hmm. So for mm-hmm. Christmas, I got myself a hula hoop. I got a little balance strap. What's it called? It's a slack board. I roller skate, I do things that are fun that connect me to who I've always been since I was a kid.
And how does your curiosity show up in that physicality? Talk to me about what that looks like and feels like.
Well, when I'm roller skating, and I'm off my roller skates right now because full disclosure, I did fall trying to do a spin, and I pad up, I have pads and the whole thing, but the way I fell, I broke my elbow. And so, yeah, I know. So I'm still getting mobility back from that, and it's cold right now, so I'm not back on my skates yet. But when I'm skating, I, first of all, feel so free. And so I feel like I'm flying when I'm on my roller skates. And that comes from when I was a kid. I would be on my roller skates all the time, which is why I got back on them. I wanted to get that feeling again. And when I am on the skates, I find myself going, okay, what can I do here? Can I do this? Can I go up on one toe and one heel? Can I do it on the other side? Can I turn this way? Can I turn that way? And it requires every single bit of my focus when I'm on my skates, because I don't want to fall. So I have to stay very focused. And that's flow. It becomes like the worries of the world, anything from my life, anything I came in with stress for that day is momentarily completely gone. Because I'm focused and I'm curious and I'm leaning into what can I do here?
You're listening to Choose to Be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton, and my guest today is age agitator, play instigator, and late bloomer living host, Yvonne Marchese. So this is making me think about two things, actually. Most of the things that you've described are things that you're doing just yourself. But you strike me, and certainly in your podcast, my experience of you is as a very inclusive, engaged in relationship, happy in your friendships, or sort of living curiosity in community. Mm-hmm. And I know you've got your Age Agitators Club, your Midlife Uprising community. So I want to explore that a little bit, and the idea of curiosity in community. But something you were saying made me think about adaptive aging and the research around being curious and bringing those new experiences and kind of challenging ourselves in that way is like a good way to age. You know, that's how we age well. That's how we stay young. And it reminded me of something that one of the researchers I talked to said. Her name was Michiko Sakaki. And she said, think of aging as a process of gaining knowledge. So that aging isn't about physical decrepitude or the loss of something. It's about the gaining of something.
Man, I love that twist. Yes.
And I'm just thinking about you gaining all of this different kind of knowledge that you, some of which you will use for years and years to come, and some of which you'll be like, okay, now I know, and I'm going to go do something different. And I'm glad to hear that resonates. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, first of all, let me go back to that idea of community and doing it in community. That's another place where I'm in flow is in my community with people. Yeah. We have a weekly Zoom meeting and the planning of it is fun. It feels light, you know, and it's mostly conversation, but it's guided conversation. I'll come in with an idea to talk about because I find that gets me excited. I really love my time, my downtime. Mm-hmm. But I also really enjoy being in community with other people. A friend of mine finally helped me come up with the term ambivert. I'm kind of both.
I like it. I like it. That resonates.
Yeah. And is so when I'm doing something like running the Zoom call with my peoples or in Clubhouse, I have a room that I do every Wednesday with a group of women. It's we're there to talk about something that is we're curious about. Like there's okay, this is a topic or this is an idea. What's happening for you around this? What's happening for you around this? And the mixture of purpose and curiosity that is a sweet spot for me. I'm developing a play shop, which is a way for people to learn how to access their own style of play that they can tap into at any given point in any day. And you can get on the wait list for that at latebloomerliving.com/play. And I love that whole idea of if we just thought of aging as keeping, you know, learning more and more. I think a lot of people say I'm a lifelong learner. I am. I know it's become so trite, and, you know, but I am a lifelong learner. That's another style of play that they've identified as the explorer. You can be an explorer, like physically going out in the world. That's a way of exploring. But another way of exploring is exploring ideas and exploring stories and exploring new knowledge. Love that.
And I think, you know, one of the things that Michiko would be glad to see you saying, and I thought of her instantly, was, you know, you're not too old. It's never too late. And that she was finding in her research, actually, that people thought of themselves, they'd say, oh, I'm not curious, even if the research, you know, they would look at them and they'd test and well, they're doing and behaving in all the ways that curious people do, but they've told themselves the story that they're not curious because they're old.
Interesting.
And what I like about what you're very explicitly saying to people is, you know, no, you're not too old to roller skate. No, you're not too old to just do something new. And as you put it, bloom like you mean it. Of just being like, my life, I'm going to bloom for as big and long as I possibly can. And curiosity gets you there. I love that.
Yeah. And here's the thing. The reason I say bloom like you mean it too is because honestly, I think we're always in a process of blooming. I don't think we can help it as humans. I think we are built to grow and it's happening no matter what you do. When I say bloom like you mean it, I mean like if you can embrace the process, which can be highly uncomfortable, then if you can get that whole idea of getting uncomfortable with being uncomfortable, it's like leaning into your superpower that you've always had anyway. I think a lot of the times life knocks us down through certain experiences so that it's time to blossom. This is like, hey, honey, knock, knock, knock. Yeah. Life is knocking on your door. This is your time to learn something new. And so a lot of times we end up learning from really hard experiences, the death of a loved one, or having to be a caretaker for somebody, or our own illness. And sorry, I'm getting a little verklempt right now, but yeah, we're going to learn that way no matter what. Why not lean into the purposeful, like looking for what makes you feel good way of learning?
Yeah, I think we think that those hard lessons are inevitable. And I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm thinking, well, what if we thought that the joyful lessons were inevitable as well? Would we look for them differently? Would we treat them differently? Would we honor them differently?
I think so. In fact, I have a sheet of paper where I keep track of, what do I not want to forget? And what do I need to do today specifically? What's the priorities? But at the top of that list, I have a reminder to look for the glimmers. A glimmer, I think, is something that is kind of amazing. And you can, when you actively look for them, they're always there.
Yeah.
Even little small things, like I often say, like if I'm filling the coffee maker in the morning and it's a sunny day and the sun's coming in our east facing windows in the kitchen at the right angle and the water's going into the coffee maker, the water sparkles, literal glimmers.
Yeah, I love
it. And it makes me happy just to notice that, and it leads me down a whole thing. Oh my gosh, how great that I can open up my tap and water comes out that I can just fill a coffee maker with, and coffee is life. So this is fantastic. One thing leads to another. This is the way my brain works. I don't know.
I also really love starting your day with a glimmer.
Yeah. And you can find them all day long.
Yeah.
Does, great to start your morning off that way, because that sets the tone, right? That gets you going in that direction. If we could be intentional at the beginning of our day, we're just that much more ahead of the game, But then, if you find yourself starting to flag or get, I call them crunchy shoulders. all of a sudden my shoulders are up around my ears, or I'm tense, I'm like, what, do I really have to hold all this tension in my body? Like, what, it's not going anywhere. Like, I don't think my muscles are going to fly out, or my skin's going to fly off my body. I don't have to hold it all together here. So, just to take a moment, that's when I get up and I take like a hula hoop break. Or a dance break, I'll put on, some piece of music that I can't help but move my body to. It only takes 5 minutes to change my state.
Go for the glimmer. Pretty fabulous curiosity practice right there. I like it. Well, I want to invite you to play with me. A game for my big jar of wannabe analogies.
I can't wait.
Okay.
And I'm nervous too.
No. It doesn't, I promise it doesn't bite. Okay. I have an actual big jar. Slips of paper, and on each piece of paper there's a random word, and we're going to make an analogy to curiosity with whatever is here. Okay, yours is pine cone. How is curiosity like a pine cone?
Ooh,
mine is pin tuck pleats.
Oh,
and I have one for our listeners. So would you like to go first, or do you want me to give it a go?
I think I'm going to try for something here. So.
Okay.
I think curiosity is like pine cones in that it's layered, and it is a means to growth, right? A pine cone is a seed to create a new pine tree. And all those little layers of they're so cool. Pine cones are cool, man.
And
you got the whole Fibonacci sequence going on those things. Those are fabulous. I'm so thrilled with that word. Yeah, curiosity is potential. And that's what a pine cone is. And it's layered. And it's a means to growth and new life.
I love it. I love it. Okay, Pintuck pleats. I was curious.
What are you gonna do with this?
I don't know. So when I think of Pintuck pleats, I'm not even sure I know exactly what that is, but I'm gonna say lots of tiny little pleats. It reminds me of my grandmothers, actually, both of who were amazing seamstresses and would sew. And I used to love to sit in their sewing rooms with them and watch them work magic from what seemed to me like nothingness into somethingness. And I think curiosity is that same thing of sort of gathering things together and making remarkable things out of something that was ordinary and flat that is suddenly transformed. So that's what comes to my mind. And listeners, yours is patent leather shoes. How is curiosity like patent leather shoes? Let me know.
Can I tell you how much I love patent leather shoes? I love them.
Well, I can't wait to hear the analogies. Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, hashtag analogy. Yvonne, I knew this would be fun. And I am looking forward to more of this in the future.
Thank you. I had so much fun talking to you. We got to stay in touch.
You've been listening to Choose to Be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Thank you for joining us here today. You can find all my episodes on my website at choosetobecurious.com. I hope you'll follow me here, there, and on Facebook, Instagram, and Blue Sky, all at Choose to Be Curious, where you can share your patent leather shoes analogy, hashtag analogy. Many thanks to my delightful guest, Yvonne Marchese. Links to Late Bloomer Living on my website. Thanks, too, to Sean Ballack for our theme music. And this is Are We Loose Yet? By Body Tonic via Blue Dot Sessions. I hope you'll join us again next time. And until then, choose to be curious.
I wrote a little book. It's in full bloom. I call it the little book that could. It's filled with my flower photography and definitions of the word bloom. And it's a kind of a pick your own adventure book where you can pick it up any given day and look at a new definition of the word bloom as a reminder to yourself to bloom like you mean it.